the obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Wednesday, so it's not Pettycast Day. Pettycast Day on the show is Tuesday at 8 o'clock, but there is one thing that I'm very happy about with the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. I just like the fact that Juan Soto didn't make it. Didn't make it as a starter, didn't make it as a reserve. The highest paid player, biggest contract ever, 15 years, $755 million, whatever it was. And I think he's making, according to SpotRac, $61 million this year. Didn't make the All-Star team. I'm very petty about the Juan Soto contract and signing, Seth. I want it to fail miserably up in New York.
I've been torn on this because for maximum Yankees misery, especially as the Yankees have been scuttling as of late, I was hoping that the Juan Soto contract would work out incredibly well.
Yeah, that's
and
a
that
good
Yankees
one.
Fans would somehow convince themselves that the Yankees are too cheap.
Yeah.
You know, because they're such spoiled children. They're just accustomed to getting what they want when they want
it. The Steinbrenners won't go the extra mile to win championships. It's interesting because according to SpotRac, 7 of the top 10 highest paid players for this season are not going to the All-Star game. And we're talking guys that are making 38, 37, you know, 40 million bucks. Soto is the highest one at 60 plus million. And then the next three highest all made it. Zach Wheeler, 42. Aaron Judge, 40, which feels like the biggest bargain ever. Aaron Judge at 40 million feels like an incredible bargain compared to Juan Soto.
I would say the one thing, and I hate to dampen your enthusiasm about this a little bit, is that Juan Soto got off to a really slow start.
Yeah, he's
but
been
he's
better.
He's back up to his career numbers.
I get it. Yeah, no, it's just the optics of him.
So he's actually
been
better than average since the very beginning of the season.
That contract, I don't know if it'll age well, but they're going to get a good version of Juan Soto. I'm confident of that. I just like the optics of him not making the All-Star team on the first year of that deal, especially with some of the effort issues that he's had this year so far, like not running out ground balls. The next three guys after Soto all made it, Zach Wheeler, Aaron Judge, Jacob DeGrom, they all made the All-Star team. The next six, I think, are almost a lesson in why Jim Crane does business the way that he does when it comes to big contracts, high-level free agents, not wanting to get hemmed in with 8, 9, 10, or 12-year deals, things like that. The next six guys, the next six highest-paid guys, Anthony Rendon, $38 million, disastrous contract for the Angels. Horrific contract. Yeah. That's going to be on their books for years. Carlos Correa, $37.3 million. Not been a good contract for the Minnesota Twins so far. Mike Trout, that's been
Mike Trout, it's kind of the point, dear listeners, where some of our younger listeners have actually texted in at times, what has Mike Trout ever done anyway?
Yeah, right.
Like, I don't know, how many MVPs did he win?
He's in the top five for like eight straight years or something.
It's been just a long time where, you haven't seen complete seasons out of Mike Trout. But trust me, children.
Yeah.
At one point, he was magnificent.
I take those texts for me and you personally, Seth, as encouraging. It means there is a younger audience out there. That'll carry us through our twilight years on the radio. Yeah, and they're the ones that don't know who the hell Mike Trout is on the Los Angeles Angels.
Yeah, now do me a solid, youngsters. Teach me some of this lingo. What is Riz? I don't get it. Just tell me. I thought I knew what Aura was, but it feels like it's slightly different now than it used to be.
Yeah.
I'm lost. I'm lost. You know, I'm an old man.
You know what I got hit with yesterday that I had to look up? Someone told me that I had a take on Jabari. I don't want to get too far off track. I had a take on Jabari Smith Jr.'s contract versus Paolo Banchero's contract, which I'll dig into the take later in the show. Suffice it to say, there were a lot of people out there that thought that it was a silly take. It was a stupid take. I was backing up Jabari Smith Jr. And I know he's not as good as Paolo Banchero. I get that. But one particular person tweeting at me, I replied to it with my explanation, and they just said, "That's cope."
I know that one.
You know that's basically
I understand that. I understand that jargon.
You're trying to talk yourself into something you're delusional
coping.
About.
Yeah.
So I had to look that up.
I gotta tell you one thing, kids. You kids these days. I feel like a lot of your slang these days is just all you do is take a word chop off part of it and then like misuse it grammatically.
It's very lazy. I don't know, like,
there's no, yes, it's lazy. Yeah. It's lazy. Yep. It's born out of texting.
Yes.
I applaud your economy of motion, I suppose, but no. Take a throw in a metaphor or something there.
Yeah. Something, man.
The streamers say copium.
Copium?
The stream? Yep. I kind of like that. Okay. Yeah, like because it's a mixture of cope and opium.
Oh, and opium? Okay, yeah, see, that's not bad.
Good job, Ben.
That's not bad.
See, that's why we have young Ben on the show.
That's right. Ben is our urban dictionary over there. That's who he is.
Ben, do you watch video game streaming?
Yeah.
Stream? You do?
Okay, yep.
There you go. I've
started it. That's the one thing I'm trying to figure out that young people do that it was so foreign to me.
Yeah.
And now I'm getting it. I've like forced myself to sit down and watch some of the better
video games.
Watch
other people
streamers.
Play video games?
Yeah, and it's the personality. It's like anything else. It's like it's their commentary about it.
It's the fellowship of it. Yeah.
And I'm sure if I were into video games, I would definitely appreciate the guys that are really good at it.
Yeah.
I get that side of it.
I got you. Yeah.
But then some of them are just really entertaining personalities.
Yep. So Rendon, $38 million bad contract. Carlos Correa, $37 million bad contract. That would have been a 10 or 13 year deal if he was on a different team. It's six because he's got a ratchet leg. Mike Trout, horrible contract. Garrett Cole, $36 million, has won a Cy Young, but now is getting Tommy John surgery. If you get him for 8 or 9 years and it's a pitcher, there's a decent chance you're going to get some TJ in there.
Yeah.
Now Jose Altuve is on this list. He's the ninth one on this list. Didn't make the All-Star team. $33 million a year. But again, I think it illustrates the point with Jim Crane that I'm trying to make, which is Jose Altuve is on this list, but unlike these other fan bases that are probably like, oh, this contract, I don't think we're feeling that way with Jose Altuve and the five-year extension that he signed.
Altuve's contract de-escalates as it goes on. They accounted for the natural aging in his contract, so he's making less money at the end of the deal. This is which is the exact opposite of the deals that people fear, which is you're still paying a guy that shouldn't even be playing Major League Baseball anymore $40 million a year 8 years from now.
Yeah, and look, is Altuve a $33 million player still? Probably not anymore, but he's not bad. He's still a productive hitter. And then Tyler Glasnow, who's been out all year for the Dodgers, they wouldn't shut up about it on Saturday, $32 million. So I think just looking at that list, Seth, yesterday, I know people wanted Kyle Tucker to be here for a long, long time, but you sign guys to 10 or 12-year deals, and Kyle Tucker's going to be on this list next year in terms of the amount of money that he's making. You know, he may make the All-Star team. He's going to be a guy making $45 to $50 million. I would guess, and it's going to be a 10-year deal, and whoever signs him is probably going to get a few good years out of it, but there's just as good a chance that they're going to get some really, really inefficient, sketchy years down the stretch with the deal.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
I think any of you smart business people here, tell me if I'm correct on this or not. This is how I choose to look at it, Sean. So the Astros are really good at developing talent. They've been great at finding Latin American prospects. They've been great at developing guys within their system. They develop a good product. But then at some point they've said, no, we're not in the vertical integration game where we need to control the process from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
We are manufacturers. We're not going to get into the business of manufacturing something and then also trying to go out and put it to work.
Yeah.
We get guys through those first 6 years of their contract and then we focus on our core business, which is manufacturing great players.
Manufacturing,
if we try to get too far into the weeds with everything else, all of a sudden you're Sears and Roebuck.
I like, you know? Yeah, you're retail.
You try to do too much. You try to be all things to all people.
You're retail. You don't want to be. No, we're going to build. That's what we're going to do. Yeah. Like
so tell me if I'm using vertical integration the right way. So vertical integration would be, Sean, like you grow the crops.
Yeah.
You harvest them, but then you don't just sell the crops. You end up like packaging them into granola bars and then selling them retail doing all that.
That's a lot.
Some people
man.
Do it well, but some people they're better off just being farmers.
Yeah, that's it. That was
Astros are farmers.
Yes, that was my ex-wife's family was in the sugarcane business. That's all they did was grind the sugarcane, the raw sugar, and then they'd send it here to Imperial for them to refine the whole thing.
Yeah, they weren't manufacturing ho-hos.
Right.
They were good at what they did.
Right, right. They weren't bagging up Fun Dip in Patouville, Louisiana. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they did, though, then the next step in that is to buy an insulin company. Yeah,
Both sides.
Kind of feed the diabetes and then treat the diabetes.
Yeah, you're a genius. I blame you. Text message. I blame you guys for Cleveland winning, for bragging about all the series the Astros hadn't lost. We'll circle back to that. Yeah, we should probably.
No, hey, look. Even as we were bragging about it, we acknowledge. I said yesterday that there's a good chance that the series that they lose is to one of the lesser teams.
Yes,
and you know, and the Guardians. Let's be honest too. And I said this yesterday. This isn't like hindsight reasoning or anything. This is the Guardians are a little bit like the Astros in that. It doesn't quite make sense that the Guardians have been as bad as they are.
Right.
The same way as it doesn't make sense that the Astros have been as good as they are.
Correct. Correct. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. If you want to text in, 713-572-4610. We haven't touched on the Astros in last night in a bit, so let's do that. And my role in what's happened, not only the last 2 days, but in Hunter Brown's two worst performances over the last year. We'll get into all that. We'll break down last night's game. Coming up next.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.